Hello and welcome to Danny Golden's podcast featuring the lovely and talented licensed marriage family therapist, Ms. Heidi Bacani.
Hi, Danny. Good to be here again. I'm so excited about this conversation.
Me too. I just love how excited I keep getting all our topics. So this is fun. Before I pressed record, I was telling Heidi that I rewatched episode 6, which is all about online dating for all of you who haven't seen it yet or listened to it. And one of the things I was saying in the podcast is that I don't ask men out that I expect them to ask me out, which is still the case. Like, and ideally I want to be asked out versus doing the asking out. But this last week, there was a guy I was talking to and he just kept like changing the subject and talking about himself. And finally I was like, well, if you want to grab coffee sometime, let me know. Because guess what? My time is too precious. And if asking you out is how I get you off the phone, I'll gladly ask you out to end the conversation and realize that you don't want to date me and I don't want to date you. And we both agree and we can be on our merry way.
Right. I think that works. I think initiating is a way to really find out quickly whether or not they're interested. And also, I think I mentioned this before during that conversation that, people need a neon sign. They need it dropped on, you know, they need it dropped on them. They need something for them to feel like I don't want to generalize, but I do think that some guys need a major hint or a direct communication for them to feel safe enough to ask us out. You know, guys are human too. They have dating trauma. So why not?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I loved how in the in last episode, you basically were talking about how it's not, we don't live in a black and white world and we live in a world of gray, and feel free to make those changes as needed. And I've noticed that that's what life is about. And that's the beauty of life is that you can pivot and make changes as you need to.
Yes.
And so, yeah.
Yes. 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 Good for you for having that awareness in the middle of a dating situation, and
thank you
applying the work.
Yes, I was applying your tools and it was wonderful, so thank you.
Yep.
All right, so today we are going to talk about the musing I am angry, and also just talk about anger, which I'm really excited about because I feel like anger is this, I was talking about this with my mom and I was saying, you know, historically, and I don't know if this is right. This is just an observation.
Yeah.
I don't feel like women have been permitted to be angry. It's been more that men can be angry and it's fine. Or if they're angry, it's like, oh, he's angry. But if women are angry, it's like, oh, she's angry. It's like, oh, the scary monster has come out. And her response was, I don't think it's okay anymore for men to be angry. And I don't know. I mean, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I responded to that by saying, I would like us all to be able to be angry.
Yeah.
Because if we're not angry, it's going to be stuck. And that's just not going to be good for society to just have a bunch of people who can't express themselves walking around bumping into one another.
Totally. Yeah, I totally agree. And I also agree with your intuition that women are viewed as unladylike, you know. Anger in general in society is considered like bad, undesirable, unacceptable, frightening, dangerous. So,
we become the boogeyman or the boogeywoman.
Exactly. All those adjectives attached to female when females are angry. So, and I agree with you too. I think men are definitely getting more injected. I hate to generalize again, but I think men in society, in books, in movies, you know, are portrayed as the violent, you know, the violent ones too. And it's for both sexes, both genders. I think we have these stereotypes. So it's in order to cope and recover and heal, I think we are responsible for making that change as a society, to change those like stereotypes. And the the way to do that is to own our own anger and mm-hmm. figure out what to do with it. So I love that we're talking about this today because we're all about healing and recovering and coping. So
right.
This podcast is. So like I think this definitely speaks to our goal and our mission as two human beings trying to help
make
ourselves
the world. Exactly. Make the world a better place and help ourselves in the process. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm so excited to hear what your tools and tips for anger. Yeah. Because I feel like there's a lot of stuff in the world that, you know, makes people angry. And there's a lot of things that happen that can cause us to react and be angry. And when I've been angry, in the past, I would say I would judge myself and feel shame and guilt after mm-hmm. expressing my anger. Mm-hmm. Especially if I felt like it came out in a inconvenient place.
Yeah.
And was it timed appropriately, which happens. Yeah. Whereas now when it comes out, I'm like, good, yeah. Danny. Like, you get that out. Like, you know, and it's coming out, right, and it's coming out more fluidly, I guess I should say. Whereas in the mm-hmm. past, it almost felt like it was, like, disjointed because uh-huh. it was, like, part of me was, like, trying to hold it in, and then right. it was, like, a fart, and then it would come out. And then it was, like, holding in and then coming out. And whereas now I'm just, like, I'm letting it out, you know? And there's this just cathartic release happening. And it's nice. And I feel better after. So
yeah. That ability to express it in a non-fragmented way, I think, is what you're describing, like the goal.
Absolutely.
So that we don't feel stuck, so that we don't hold on to it where it can actually physically harm us. Cause when we suppress our feelings, we walk around emotionally dysregulated. And mm-hmm. that emotional dysregulation causes stress on the body, on the organs. So it is so important to take care of ourselves through the expression of it in a non-fragmented way where we're stuffing it and then, like, you know, kind of exploding or, like, oozing it onto a situation, you know, just displacing it. You know, we do all sorts of things with emotions. So
yeah,
much healthier to be aware of it, identify it, acknowledge it, and work through it.
Yeah, I just had a visual like of a cake, of frosting a cake. Like, if I'm going to be icing that cake with my frosting, I'm going to put it on heavy because I like a lot of frosting. Not skimping out on the frosting.
Right.
Don't
skip out on anger.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, so before I read the musing, Heidi, let's get into your disclaimer.
Okay. So before we begin, I care about all the viewers and listeners right now, and I really want you to feel supported if you do this kind of work and if you have trauma. So we are putting this information out there as a way to kind of give you a overview, a summary of what you can do with anger and ways to heal and recover and cope. We also want you to benefit from our podcast in that way, to get an exposure to the work. And more importantly, we want you to, I will speak for myself, I want you to, mm-hmm. if I could want something, it's that you all go and work on yourselves with a therapist, a psychologist, a licensed clinical social worker, a credentialed counselor of some sort, so that you can thoroughly do the work with a lot of support and a lot of care, because this is important work for us to heal and recover. So informational, for fun, for entertainment, but not a substitute for therapy at all.
Well said.
Okay.
And I definitely identified with what you were saying, so feel free to throw the we in there.
Okay. The royal we.
Yeah, the we all the way home. Okay, the musing, I am angry. This was really fun. Go ahead.
No, I just want to say this was a really good one.
Oh, thank you. This was fun to write. It kind of just came out, which is always fun when they do.
Yeah.
So it's called I Am Angry. And it's I am angry. I should have known then what I know now. I am angry for not standing up for myself, placing my foot firmly on the floor, for not saying this is crazy. Goodbye. No, thank you. No more. I am angry. I feel like I wasted so much time. I am angry. I don't know what I would do differently, even if I could push rewind. I am angry. I hurt myself and others. I am angry. I am human, imperfect. I did not have the answers. I was stuck. I was scared. I wanted to make it all just go away. But the problem was that deep down inside, I wasn't okay. I was sad, unhappy, lost, and confused. And under that anger, I realized his sadness. Who knew? That's
Beautiful.
it. Thank you. So yeah, so I wrote that when I was reflecting upon a time that was extremely traumatic for me. And I had a lot of regrets, and I felt like everything kind of came to a head, and it wasn't the way I wanted it to come to a head. I wasn't the best version of myself. And I was in the process of learning a lot of lessons at the same time and wasn't managing that process well. And when I reflect and I look back on it, there's this anger and sorrow that go hand in hand. Like, I'm angry I didn't know then what I know now. But then, when I'm writing it, there's also this conscious mind that's like, but of course you didn't know then what you know now. That's what I was here to teach you. But anger is not always that logical, right? It's wanting to rewrite, it's rewrite the past, Monday morning quarterback, should all over ourselves. And so when I was writing this, I was just really trying to express all these emotions and all these feelings. Like, and when I wrote, I don't know what I would do differently, even if I could push rewind. I really feel that way. Yes, there are things that I definitely would have done differently, but at the same time, it's really hard to do that if I didn't know then what I know now. So there's this level of unapologetic honesty that I've had to develop with myself
Work.
throughout this process to really heal and have this level of acceptance. Because I think it's really about acceptance. And what I loved about it was at the end, when I was writing it, I really did feel sadness. And I was surprised. I was genuinely surprised that that was underneath it. And for me, that was like I wanted to give that person a hug. And it was this moment of breaking through that anger into this level of like, just sadness. Like, I'm sad that I went through all this trauma and this torture and this torment. I'm sad that I hurt people and myself, and I didn't know. I'm sad that I didn't know then what I should know now and all these things. And I think that's what's interesting about anger, and something that I've learned and we've talked about offline, and you, I'm sure you can elaborate on, is that anger is a secondary emotion. You don't feel anger until you feel something else. So for me, it was very interesting to learn that my anger was emanating from a place that was after the sadness. Which, so.
But the anger, like you're saying, is a secondary emotion. We don't really we're not really able to identify it until all the other stuff like brews up or comes up. But anger is the easiest one to identify at the same time because it's like the loudest.
Oh,
So
yeah.
that's why it feels like it's the primary, but actually, yeah, I agree. I think it is actually the secondary because there's all sorts of other stuff happening too. It's just that anger is a louder emotion.
Yes, and I 100% agree with you based on my personal experience. It took me a very long time to get past that anger to realize it was sadness.
For
And I'm
us.
sure there were a bunch of other emotions that were going into it, like feeling violated, feeling not seen, not heard, feeling like someone took advantage of me, feeling like my boundaries were non-existent and the ones that I had were being violated repeatedly. There was a lot. Yeah. There's a lot that goes into it.
I think you're doing a good job like describing the effect those things have on us and how it is so like interrelated to anger And the other emotions I'm hearing you talk about also are like shame. Mm-hmm. Shame is a big one, I think. Shame, the sadness, resentment. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. Yeah. Sure. And what Heidi and I were talking about that we touched upon at the very beginning of this podcast was that, you know, in society, women haven't been encouraged to be angry. We're not mm-hmm. allowed to express our anger. Right. So Heidi, feel free to elaborate because, you know, growing up and not feeling, and this wasn't coming from my parents or yeah. friends or things like that. You know, I feel very lucky. I was allowed to be authentically myself. And I hate to say that because it sounds so trite because everyone's always saying that, like, authentically myself. Like, who else was I going to be? Right. Right. I was allowed to be myself unapologetically. And, you know, when I had a bad swim race, I got angry. I didn't necessarily feel good about it, but I was given I wasn't scolded by my parents. It was more like, if you're going to behave like that, you need to own how you're going to behave. And that's what it is. You're healthy. I'm teaching you to raise yourself. Right. Yeah. I'm teaching you how to parent yourself. And, you know, if you're not going to like your behavior, then don't behave like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, wow. Yeah.
That reflects like a very, an aware parent, I think, that they recognize, like, they're teaching you how to parent yourselves in those moments when they're not there. So that's really, right. That's a talent, I think.
Yeah, no. So, but then society was like, don't get angry. Or like, you know, if you're, I don't know how many women can identify with this, but I'm sure most listening can, when you've been out and about and something's happened and you are not happy and right. you react and people look at you like you're a crazy person mm-hmm. and it's not a fun feeling. And you're like, you know what? This is bullshit. I'm allowed mm-hmm. to be upset by this, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not going to get into the whole gender thing because I don't think that's relevant here. Mm-hmm. I think what's relevant is that I'm a person who's having my feelings right now, and right. I'm going to express these feelings, and it's not my problem if they make you uncomfortable.
Right.
That's your problem.
Period.
Period. End of sentence.
Yeah, I'll piggyback a little bit on what you were saying, that getting away from our, like, not wanting to get into, like, the gender stuff too.
Right.
I think that, yeah, you were saying earlier that, like, women are definitely discouraged from expressing. We're more encouraged to, like, not express the anger, not, like, the messages are, like, don't be unladylike. You know, that is not a desirable emotion for you to express. It's unacceptable. It's bad. That's the messaging, I think, around anger for women.
Oh, yeah. And like every, you know, and men want an easygoing woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Don't disrupt the waters. Don't, yeah. you know, make waves.
Right. And men are victims too, I think.
Right.
This, you know, I think they're definitely typecasted, you know, or stereotyped into certain ways too, that is not fair. So lots of messaging around anger in our society. Not very helpful, not very healing, not very pro recovery or coping with how stressful life is. So yeah.
Right.
Can I say a little bit about what I took away from your musing, Danny?
Please.
Okay. So what I saw in you when I was reading was your strength at being assertive and do good boundary work as a form of self-care. I saw you doing a lot of self-forgiveness work on yourself to assist in resolving a resentment that was starting to develop towards the perpetrator, the person that causes anger.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also saw, like, your awareness of the underlying emotions that are right below the surface of anger also. So in that short, you know, albeit brief musing. Like, it was jam-packed for me. Like, I saw a lot of good stuff there that you've done. A lot of good
Thank
work.
you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You're going to make me cry. You know, it's not an easy process. Yeah. There has definitely been a lot of forgiveness of the perpetrators and of myself, because, and forgiveness really is, I stand by, you know, we'll probably do a podcast on forgiveness at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah, that'd be good.
But so here's the tease, ladies and gentlemen. Forgiveness is definitely something that I've learned was for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't for anyone else but me. You know, what is that quote that, you know, resentment or anger is the poison you keep feeding yourself.
Yeah.
I didn't want to keep taking that poison, and I felt it. And that's twofold. I felt it every time I was angry with myself, and I felt it every time I was angry with the people who violated my boundaries and my space.
Yeah.
And
your rights.
And my rights as a human.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. But it took time, and I tried my own little strategies on that. For me, I didn't write that one out. I did a visualization where, like, I was standing in front of them, and I was basically just saying, you know, yeah, where I did, like, you know, I forgive you for not knowing better, for myself and for them. And it was really, this attempt to let go. That's not to say, though, after it happened, that I didn't still have moments that made me angry or things that pushed those buttons, right? Those wounds were now scabbed over, but if you bump into a scab, it still hurts.
Right, totally.
You know, and sometimes the scab falls off and it has to start all over. So, you know, there was, it's a long process, but it's definitely worth it. And I would like to thank my anger for getting me there.
You used it well, clearly.
Yeah, thank you.
You've reached this point of, or this phase, where forgiveness is part of the internal dialogue.
Yeah,
that's definitely evidence that you have made peace with yourself, you know, and with the other, and you've done the work, and you see the benefit of that work already. So
yeah,
it's a beautiful process. You did good work, Danny. That's hard. Really?
Thanks.
Hard. Really great. Really hard.
Yeah. I think the one thing I want to share with the listeners and the viewers is that the reason I kept going, even though it was really hard, is the pain was much worse. So I just figured if I can't, I don't want to live with this pain. So if the only way to live it is live, if the only way to get rid of it is to walk through it and walk through the storm and get to the other side, I'm willing to do that. And I'm just going to tell myself every day, just one foot in front of the next. And, you know, it has equated to a sense of peace that I'm very much protective over and grateful for. So,
it is. I think you're implying in talking about your process that, like, this is lifelong work, because trauma is lifelong work. You know, once we have a trauma, we have a memory, and that memory is triggered or activated by specific things we're aware of, and sometimes not so specific or not so clear, you know, what's going to activate that anger or that pain that, you know, was caused by that trauma. So it's something we live with, and that's okay. It's, you know, as long as we're doing the work, we have the tools, then we can work through it, one day at a time. So, I think it's important. You talked about acceptance earlier. It's important to have that acceptance that this is the work. This is our work as a human, is to work through our feelings and our trauma, and it's lifelong and it's one day at a time, and that's okay. So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. To the viewers and listeners, it's okay if you feel like this feels like it's going to be forever. Like, why is this forever? If you're feeling frustrated, like, why is this lifelong work? Why can't we just stop? Well, it's okay if you feel that way. It's frustrating, annoying, irritating, just being aware of that too, I think.
Yeah. And I think the beauty of it and what keeps you going, or what keeps me going, is, mm-hmm. you know, you can get to a place where you get past something that you have these like silent moments of accomplishment that you really can't share with anyone else because no one really knows like the struggles that you're going through internally, or you don't know how to vocalize or things like that, or you share it with them, but they still don't know like how painful it's been. Right. And you get to this point where you progress and you're like, yes. And then something else meets you. So it's not the same thing over and over again. It's like, you know, so it keeps it interesting. And I think, you know, like you said, the more you look at it as just like, okay, this is part of the program, you know, I'm willing to learn, you know, and that doesn't mean like every day is going to be like torturous. It just means there's just going to be stuff.
Things along the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Things along the yellow brick road.
What else? What else? So yeah, that was my feedback for you for today.
I love that. Thank you.
On your process, on your writing.
No, I love that because it's always enjoyable to hear how the musing's being interpreted.
Yeah.
And that's very great feedback. So thank you. I'm very happy with that feedback. Nice. Yeah. It's nice to hear that. Because, you know, when you're just doing the work, sometimes, you know, you think it's like yelling into an echo chamber and the echo chamber just yells back at you. And you're like, what is going on? So it's nice to hear there's the perception of growth and all these other things that you're talking about, which is nice. Yeah.
So hard to be objective about ourselves, I think. So.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
To get feedback sometimes.
Yeah. I don't have that bird's eye view on my own life. Absolutely not.
Right.
Okay. So in my notes, I have anger as being, unless you want anything else to say anything else, I don't want to cut you off.
No,
okay.
We can move on.
Okay. Anger as being a multifaceted emotion. So we talked about how it's a secondary emotion. Yeah. And then I have, Heidi dropped some more knowledge.
Oh, okay. Right. You want me to do that? Okay. This is a long one, kids. So
I love it. I'm so ready to learn. Teach me. Oh, teach me, wise one.
Oh my gosh. All right. How do we own our anger is how I phrased the next few minutes, structured this monologue. And I can encapsulate it in three little words. Basically how we do this work, and the work is to reclaim our power, reclaim your power, reclaim my power, reclaim our power. So I'll just start with that. And the reason why we want to do this work and why it's so valuable is because we draw a lot of negative associations with the word anger. You know, we started this podcast talking about that a little bit. There's so much messaging around anger that it is bad, is undesirable, it's unladylike, it's unacceptable, it's frightening, it's dangerous. But being able to constructively use our anger, direct that anger and its energy changes that messaging. It transforms it into something productive. So and it can be incredibly empowering for us when we change the narrative around anger.
Yes.
Yeah. What were you thinking, Danny?
I was just thinking how I was telling our mutual friend this story, but I was walking by something. I'm going to be vague on this story. I was walking by something and I was having these thoughts and I vocalized my thoughts out loud. And then I looked and saw, and they were very honest thoughts. And I saw that I got caught by the person who saw me say it. And at first I was like, oh gosh, I can't get away with anything, which is just par for the course. But the other thing that was surprising about that was I was glad that that person saw what I was thinking, because I had continually felt like they weren't respecting my boundaries. So it was like, oh, now you know exactly how I feel. And I don't make any apologies for it. And the more I kept thinking about it, the more I started to find it funny that this person had been sitting in their car, and the look on their face when they saw me say that was like their jaw dropped. And it's like, yeah, I have an opinion too. Just because I haven't vocalized it doesn't mean I'm sitting here like, oh yeah, everything's peachy keen. We're all good here. And it felt quite awesome to get it out and have it be heard by the intended recipient, even though it wasn't planned. And so it was the first time, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say, in I have no idea how long, because it's been that long, where I was like, go me. About my anger. Because in the past, I was definitely like, go me. But then after, you know, the trauma and after everything I've been through, I was like, oh, shouldn't be angry, shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that. And this time I was like, no, this is exactly what I think. I don't care that you saw it.
Good for you.
I'm going to rock on with my bad self, and you can now hear what I got to say. Do what you're going to do. You want to say something back? I'm all ears. So, that's what I was thinking when that smile came across me. I was like, oh, yes, I know this feeling.
That's what empowerment looks like. That's what reclaiming our power looks like. That's what being courageous and unapologetic looks like, I think. Expressing the anger versus stifling it and stuffing it, and then it turning into resentment down the road. And then we redirect it onto someone else that doesn't deserve it. You know, always better to like direct it to the person who is causing the anger.
Yeah. Or I'll redirect it onto myself. Like in the past, I would have been, I would have been like, oh, Danny, I can't believe you said that. And then they saw you like, oh, you're such a horrible person. Like there just would have been all this negative self-talk. And I think what was great about this experience was I was like, no, that's what I think. It's not mean, it's factual. Right. And that's how I feel. So, you know?
Right. Deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. No apologies.
Good work.
Thank you.
So, okay. So that was my prequel to the steps. my little speech about why we want to do the anger work. And that was a good example of like anger on the fly, I think.
Yes.
And in what I think I'm focusing on a little bit more of today is anger trauma, but also anger that is unresolved. Okay. I've shared this before in our podcast, like I'm a slow processor. So like my anger doesn't actually, I don't have an awareness of it until after the fact. So in that situation, for me, I need to take the time to sit down with myself, check in with myself, and identify that I'm having anger, and then do the work, whatever that may be, look like, try to resolve it. So, so Danny's good at the on the fly anger I'm going to talk about.
No, this is great because I've had the slow processing anger where I'm like, oh, wait a second, where I felt powerless in a situation and really was stuck with this anger and couldn't, it wasn't a situation where I was going to be able to confront this individual or change the situation. It was more about finding a way to navigate within the situation where I could reclaim my power and be patient. And that was very hard.
Right.
That was more difficult, I thought.
It takes time. Yeah. It takes time because we, some situations warrant thinking about what we want, thinking about what the goal is. So that's what I'm going to go over. I'm sure a lot of it will resonate for you, Danny.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. So we have some steps. The first step I really think when we do anger work has to be identifying our tools for grounding and self-regulation, emotion regulation, because sometimes when we're talking about trauma and deeper anger work, I think, and not necessarily trauma, but deeper anger work and then trauma as well, is there's self-care involved in processing difficult emotions. So I really want to emphasize to us and the viewers and listeners that having grounding techniques and tools is important and valuable for doing any sort of processing work. We want you to, if I could want something, it's that everyone feels safe when they do this. So
that's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So whenever we notice that like our heart is, our heartbeat is racing, our breath is getting short and shallow. We're like staying too long in a memory, like for more than like, I don't know, 5 minutes. I would say like 5 minutes is a long time, but like if we get stuck, like, and we feel like we're reliving a situation, that's not safe for us. So we want to, we want to identify things that we can do to help us emotionally regulate. And examples of that would be doing like slowing, like breath work, slowing down our breath. Inhaling for 7, holding for 4, exhaling for 7. Get up from where we're at and go get a drink of water to sort of like break the chain or like stop that process of feeling flooded and overwhelmed. And then another example would be like setting a timer for 5 minutes, laying down, listening to music. Something that will help us to get back to a state of emotion regulation. And you can always come back to the work. It's always going to be there, right? So take care of yourselves, guys, gals, you know, make sure we are doing this kind of work safely. So that's step one.
Love it.
All right. Step two. Is, I won't say it's the hard part, but it can be challenging. I'll just say that.
Okay.
Because it's about expressing the anger.
And oh, I love this.
None of us were taught how to do this. I mean, some of us were lucky.
No, I know.
That taught us, but this is a way formal way of doing it. I mean, parents will teach us to like the go drink water one. I got that from my mom. She would always go tell me, like, if she could see I was like, wrapped up in how I was feeling and not able to shift my vent to her about something, she would redirect me and tell me to go get a drink of water. Like that was definitely a message of like, go emotionally regulate and come back and we'll work on this again. We can problem solve this, but first you got to like shift out of your feelings so much.
My mom would say, do you need a hug? And at first I'd be like, no. And then she would come over and be like, I'm giving you a hug. And I would be like, this is perfect. I needed this, you know, melting into it.
Moms are so good at soothing.
They really are.
They're so good at soothing. Dads can be good at soothing too, but moms are magical.
No, my dad's way of dealing with anger is more when I'm angry is he makes me laugh. So that's fun too. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I'll also share like when it comes to self-soothing, if the viewers or listeners are trying to do this work, imagine a benevolent kind of parent, grandparent who is saying to you, I love you. You're my baby. Everything is going to be okay. Like something like that, you know, like that is like,
it's very comforting.
It's so comforting to hear that, I think. And we can give that to ourselves. So
I like that.
Yes. Grounding techniques. Okay. So back to expressing the anger. So my thought on expression is several things. One is, the first thing is writing a general anger list. Yeah. And this can be done at the time the anger is activated, or like when you have a practice of journaling or checking in with yourselves, it can be at the end of the day, the beginning of the day, the end of the month, the beginning of the month. And from that general list, then you write a focus list. And that would be a short sentence of like, I am angry at because fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
And these lists are try to see these lists as like a container for the anger, so that you can, like, the general list is the container for the anger. And then the focus list is the beginning steps of processing the anger.
Okay.
Okay. Because like a general list is just
so
like
the list is meant to, when you say, Okay, and when you say container, you mean that's where the anger should stay. Like once you put it on paper, it's like I'm dumping this into this trash can, and this list is this trash can of anger going to hold everything. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. Because just writing it down, like in the moment, this happens to me, like when I'm having dreams or nightmares, I'll like write down, mm-hmm. or if I'm journaling and I don't have time to process something, I'll write down what occurred and then I'll come back to it. Mm-hmm. So the paper and the pen are like the container for that emotion or that situation. And then we can come back to it and process it further. Yeah, that's a way to avoid having intense emotion affect our work life, you know, being present in our work life and our, and being present in our relationships. And so we can kind of get on with life and its tasks, you know, because if we are using our mind as a container, it's kind of, it can be with us like all day.
Yeah, no, then you're ruminating and you're living in it or reliving it. It's a torture. Yeah.
And this is also like a, it can affect, again, it can keep us emotionally dysregulated where it affects us physically. So, mm-hmm. so it's, yeah, the container concept I think is an important one to help us stay more healthy, and present. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Okay, so when it comes to expressing the anger, there's various forms and ways to do this. The first style is cathartic expression.
Okay.
And examples of that would be saying out loud who and why we're angry at.
Okay.
And then another example of cathartic expression is squeezing clay, because some forms of clay can be very stiff, and there's something mm-hmm. something about the tactile sensation of squeezing something really, really hard that is so mm-hmm. satisfying, but also is a can be like a release of that anger. And then yelling into a pillow.
Oh, I've done that.
Can also be very cathartic, a good release, cathartic mm-hmm. release. Writing an angry letter, that's a little more intellectual, but I think if we're feeling like super, super charged about something someone did to us, or a person, place, or thing that did something to us that caused mm-hmm. us to be angry, writing an angry uncensored letter mm-hmm. can help us
get it out.
Get it out, yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that is not a letter that is sent to the
person. Right. I was just going to say the reason the reason I was thinking that it goes in the shredder.
Yeah. That one gets ripped up, torn into pieces, or set on fire.
Right.
There's just a couple more. I like this one too. Shoe stomping. I don't know if any of y'all have heard of this.
But I think, I'm sure. Because sometimes it's like a whole, you know, all encompassing, yeah. right? So there's just stomping from like, because you feel so tense. And so you really, you know, like you ever notice when you get angry, like really angry, you're like stiff. So yeah. I wouldn't have been surprised if I was like, you know, like, I'm King Kong, get out of my way.
I love your version. Okay. I'm going to describe my version of shoe stomping.
Okay.
Is better though, Danny. Shoe stomping is writing the name of the person, place, or thing that we're feeling angry towards or situation on the bottom of our shoe.
Oh, I like that. Like on a sticky note.
Yeah. Yeah. And stomping on, you know, stomping with our feet to the point of scratching it off or shuffling it off. On the pavement.
Love it.
Shoe stomping.
Yeah.
And then physical exercise is
yes, done that.
Obvious one.
Yeah.
where we turn our anger energy into fuel to move our body. So, okay. So those are all the physical cathartic expression, ways of expressing anger. And then there's the artistic style of expressing anger. And what that looks like is I claim to be a creative kind of person, but I know I'm going to fall short at describing every way that people can do this. I mean, the only thing I could think of in the moment was like painting, using clay to sculpt and draw. But, you know, for all the artists in our audience, I'm sure they're going to, you guys like
have fun with it.
Yeah. You guys can like go to town with that kind of artistic expression. I'm sure there's so many beautiful ways you all will express yourselves in that way.
So it's really about transmuting the energy, mm-hmm. changing it.
Transmuting, sublimation. Yeah. It's using mm-hmm. that energy to turn it into or to use for something artistic.
Turn your lemons into lemonade.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that. Another mode of expression would be through communication, direct communication. And that would involve practicing a script where we're being straightforward and honest about our boundaries. And like an example of a honest, straightforward statement would be, I feel angry and I want. So coming up with a statement, a sentence, and then communicating that directly to the person. Or you could also do it indirectly by doing what's called empty chair work, where I think we talked about this a long time ago.
Yes. I like that exercise.
Yeah, where we talk to the person that's not physically there, but we talk
pretend
to them.
Pretend they're there.
Pretend that they're in the chair, right?
Right.
Yeah, and then you say the script out loud.
Right.
So again, a reminder to the viewers and listeners, by doing these things, we are reclaiming our power and giving the shame back to whomever the anger is directed towards. Like these are examples of ways to sublimate, to change the anger into something productive and more in the realm of like self-care.
I love that.
Okay. Let's see. You know, and I want to give credit to the organization that really taught me like these tools. I worked at Del Amo Hospital for many, 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 many years, and on the unit called the National Trauma Center, mm-hmm. in the unit called the National Trauma Center, we would work a lot with people's anger. Who were like violated and physically violated or abused. So the anger work was super inspiring to watch, you know, just like the courage it took for people to share their story and to identify their perpetrator and then like do the work. Like it always inspired me and made me want to cry. Like made me feel so like full and filled up and satisfied that I was learning, you know, how to mm-hmm. take care of myself and to take care of other people. So I give a lot of credit to the hospital, Del Amo Hospital, for teaching me this work. As a matter of fact, we used to have something called the anger room, and it was especially designated for anger. And I'll go into a little bit of detail about what we did in there. So like there was a time limit to how long you can spend in there. It was like 5 to 15 minutes was max. And we would do the empty chair technique. And then we would have the patients like state positive affirmations out loud. Because of the shame and the self-loathing and the negative self-talk that would come after like that anger would get activated. The positive affirmations were really important to help us help the patient like see themselves more objectively, And I'll go into that a little bit too about what those.
Yeah.
Anger can be anger. We can turn that anger on ourselves, like we were talking about earlier. So, you know, the minute that we would recognize that happening, we would do the grounding work with them, and then we would have them come up with the positive affirmation work.
Why do you think we as humans, when we get violated and it causes us to be angry, that we turn that anger on ourselves and there's that guilt and shame? What is that relationship?
I think it stems from probably like how we were parented in a lot of ways. Like, I think there's a relationship between how we learned how to deal with anger from our caregivers and how we accept anger that is being enthrusted on us, or like, you know, when we're being abused. Like, it's we buy into, or we believe that those statements or that violence is deserved.
Yeah. Or it's like a coping mechanism to kind of soothe ourselves in a messed up way. Like, I deserve this.
I could see why you say that. It's familiar, maybe in a way that's why it's soothing. It's because what's what we know.
Right.
So
if it, so if it persists for a while, it would be like, oh, here we go again. This is what,
This is okay.
Right.
This is how unconsciously it's like, okay, this is how mom and dad treated me, or mom and mom, or dad and dad. And so it's like, this is normal. I'm just going to tolerate this because I, that's what I do. I tolerate. And then we turn it on ourselves because we don't know any other way to cope with it.
And that can happen as an adult too, as well. Like, if parents were, you know, had a healthy relationship with teaching you anger, but then like you wound up finding yourself in another environment that was supposed to be safe. And then that environment wasn't safe. Yeah.
That can happen. Well, I think we're particularly vulnerable to it, even if we had good parenting, when we have, like, I can think of like my first experiences in relationship, like having my first boyfriend, you know, that is such a formative time of life when we are like dating as a young person. And so we don't know, we haven't figured out like where our boundaries are and, you know, who we are.
We don't know anything.
Chaotic, right?
Right. We've been on the planet for like, a minute.
Yeah. So those patterns start to like emerge in that phase of development. And, you know, if we have a really abusive boyfriend or not so nice boyfriend, like that can shape our way of relating to another partner. Regardless of whether or not we had good parenting. And plus we are at that stage of development. We're young, we're like dependent because we're young, you know, we don't really have the resources to emotional or otherwise to like, to get out of the relationship sometimes, I guess, or to, I'm thinking of like other situations that are not relationship to a person, but relationship to an organization or a place, like somewhere where we work or somewhere where we volunteer. Somewhere where we intern, like we need those hours or we need, you know, that employer to survive or to
pay the bills. Right.
Yeah. So we'll put up with it if we don't recognize we are putting up with something unhealthy for us, we're just going to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And then it becomes a pattern of behavior. Then we don't then we don't know that we're feeling fear, anger, shame until it's like too late almost.
I'm so glad you said that because I think it's helpful for me and I think it'll be helpful for the listeners and the viewers too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So thanks for the question, Danny. It's a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, NTC, National Trauma Center, was where I got a lot of these tools that I'm describing. I have so many more examples of what we did there, but I'm going to move on because we have so much to cover.
I know. This might have to be a part, like a two-part series.
I know. Okay, so step three. We have, this is the final step, I think, in my book for okay. working through anger. Challenge my cognitive distortions by doing affirmation work. So again, we can easily come up with like negative self-talk during anger work. So the way to challenge that cognitive distortion or that negative self-talk is by doing affirmation work. And by writing the affirmations, we allow ourselves to transform that negative thought or energy that comes with anger into more of a peaceful or calm energy, mm-hmm. Which in turn helps to dissolve or resolve the resentment or the anger that can build up and cause us emotional dysregulation and ultimately physical dysregulation. And some of those... So... writing out like the narrative, the negative self-talk or the narratives is a way to identify what they are. Mm-hmm. And then you want to follow it up with, the more positive affirmations and so that we can stay emotionally regulated and also be objective about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Examples of the positive affirmations would be, I have the courage to know and experience my true feelings. I have the courage to express my feelings constructively. I have the courage to work through my anger constructively. I allow myself to express my anger constructively. I have the right to express anger. Mm-hmm. I'm not a bad person when I express my anger. Yeah, so you can see a thing
I love that.
Where you're like constantly suppressing. No, you cannot. You're not allowed. You know, it's not okay. And so these are like really good to have up somewhere as a reminder, I think.
I love those. Yeah. Well, and it's just so helpful because I think, you know, when you're going through your life and you're living your life, you don't want to address that something's angering you. Mm-hmm. Even if it's repetitive or, you know, especially if it's repetitive or whatever, you want to be like, everything's fine. Everything's good. Right. You know, we're just going to keep mm-hmm. on moving. But having those affirmations and being like, look, no, I'm not okay. I'm not fine. This isn't okay. I don't want this to continue. Right. I'm going to look and address it. And that those affirmations are very helpful.
Yeah. It's a way to stay accountable for taking care of ourselves by acknowledging these more positive aspects of who we are.
So. Yeah. And reminding ourselves that it's not okay. And expressing my discomfort and my anger with the situation is going to benefit everything.
Right.
Yeah. That's a great.
Maybe I'll forward these to you, Danny, so that they can,
I can post them.
Cause I have a lot.
Yeah. Okay. No, that would be great. Okay. Love that.
So those are the steps. Again, I think doing this work is so brave and so courageous and so empowering. It helps to have support when we're doing this work. So find your person.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know if that's what you thought it was going to be like, Yanni, but
no, this is great. This is great. I'm very, very happy. I was looking at the calendar and I was like, oh my God, this couldn't come at a more timely moment. So, you know, and timing is everything. So this is wonderful. Okay. The only thing I was going to share is, I've learned that my anger is a superpower.
Yes.
And I think the more I love that last affirmation, like I am, you know, I'm not going to do it justice, but I'm allowed to, you know, and to express my anger constructively.
Yeah. I love myself.
Yeah. I love that. is the example, you know, I gave you the other, and I also love about the reclaiming my power. And that's why I feel like anger has been my superpower because it's really helped me reclaim my power and having to go through the uncomfortable steps. You know, it's not fun to look at parts of ourselves that we don't like. And I think, you know, anger has really challenged me to look at parts of myself that I'm like, ugh, I don't know. Yeah. And, you know, you can't just love the good parts of yourself. You got to love all of it and then be ready to own it all. So that's what I love about this topic as well.
Very transformative.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. And okay. And we already talked about how do we own and accept our anger. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the question for today, unless you have anything else to add.
No, go on.
Okay. You're like, no, I'm done. Tell me about a time when you were angered by something unexpectedly and then judged yourself harshly for your behavior and then how you dealt with that.
Okay. All right.
Cause I have plenty of those. Right. I want to hear why. What? Yes. Oh my gosh.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome. Yes.
No, I didn't have to ponder too long.
That's what I mean. It's like there's a reel. It's not a fun reel, but it's a reel.
Right, totally. But the two I will share briefly about is one episode of anger that stood out for like really loud for me happened many, many years ago. But it was when I had money stolen out of my bank account.
Oh my gosh.
And I think many people are probably experiencing something like this because of all the, you know, the fraud and
the people who are supposed to protect us. And then we get the notice that they didn't protect us.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, that was definitely anger provoking.
I'm angry for you about that.
At least. Yeah. And I regained my power and my self-esteem and my self-worth by calling the bank and telling them about it and crying about it to them. And then they helped me by like, you know, restoring the money to my account.
Okay.
So that was good. So that's an example of using our anger productively.
Yes. 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 In a very stressful situation.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Christmas time too. Remember that?
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. No, no, thank you.
Bad timing. A more recent example would be, and personal, would be with a friend who I think had placed some unrealistic expectations on me. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to follow up with her. Because first I was making like an inventory. I was like, you know, this and this, like making my list of all the things I was like angry and feeling resentful for. And, why I was feeling so taken advantage of. So it was like, it was that uncensored letter writing that I did. Mm-hmm. And then like several drafts later, I would say it was like, I don't remember. It was like a month or so after I had that awareness, that I talked to her. I think it was a lot sooner, but I created a script, you know, mm-hmm. And then I practiced it out loud. And then I invited her to sit down and have this conversation. And I communicated to her, how it made me feel like when, mm-hmm. when I recognized that that all this pressure was being put on me to be the kind of friend that I felt was being unrealistic. And then asked, basically communicating like my boundaries, like letting her know like that wasn't okay. It was too much. Mm-hmm. And asked for some time to let me heal from that interaction. Mm-hmm. And she was very respectful and gave me my space. Mm-hmm. And, again, another example of how we can take care of ourselves with our personal relationships by being brave and being courageous and being honest and straightforward about how we're being impacted by someone's actions, mm-hmm. or words. So it sounds sort of simplistic how it was done, but it is multiple steps, I think.
The personal, I mean, look, the bank one, awful. Yeah. Like, to stay calm, cool, and collected in that, I definitely wouldn't have been calm, cool, and collected. I mean, with the bank, I would have been, you know, oh my gosh, what can you do? How can you help me? But I would have been cursing like a sailor behind the scenes, having my own tantrum. Right. With the friend example, I'm very proud of you. Right. I think those are really hard. to do when you feel like there's a miscommunication or there's a disconnect. And mm-hmm. My takeaway from what you were just saying is that you took the necessary time. And I think that's important too, when you're angry. Is a lot of anger. It feels like when you're angry, like you got to do something like instantly.
Right.
And I think what I've learned is that one of the reasons it's become a superpower is like, if you mix anger with patience and a calculated formula of using the steps that you provided, you can find a cathartic way to release it. And that's constructive.
Right.
And I think the patience part and the not blowing a gasket right away is the trick. For me, that's been hard because I'm a very passionate person. Mm-hmm. And when I get very angry, you know, it's got to go somewhere. It feels like, you know, it's like I'm like a walking hurricane. And anyone who gets in my path is just going to get like soaked. And I don't like that feeling. And so, you know, at some point you see these behaviors and you're like, I got to change that. Like, that's not healthy, not healthy for me, not healthy for the people I love. And so I really, you know, obviously now I'm older and wiser, but it's taken me a long time to get here. And I think that's the tools that you provided are really helpful. And the examples you provided are really helpful.
Thanks, so thank you. Same. Yeah. This is like these descriptions of my anger are 30-year-old Heidi, you know, mm-hmm. like not my younger self, not little Heidi for sure. You know? It's been a long journey to get to the place where I can do this constructively too. I'm right there with you, Danny.
Yeah, no, I get it. I would be envious though of people who maybe would get angry, but they wouldn't express it. And I always wondered how they did it, but now I'm like, no, I'm glad that I had to learn, you know, to meter it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in the moment, the people that don't express it, like they're maybe taking the time to process it.
Yeah.
Like, and hopefully they're not suppressing it, you know?
Right.
I mean,
no disrespect to them. I was envious of them, you know, when I would see that. And it's a different personality. And I think that recognizing that and then forgiving myself for that, you know, was key too.
Yeah.
Okay. PSA and books.
Okay,
quick. Because we're, I know. Okay. I'm talking forever.
PSA, we want listeners to benefit from low-cost therapy if that is what they are seeking.
Love it.
I found a place in LA called the Wright Institute, Los Angeles, or WILLA for short. And their website address is www.willa.org. Willa.org.
Okay.
They have individual, couples, family, and group therapy. All the services are provided by interns who are supervised by highly skilled, licensed marriage family therapists, psychologists, and clinical social workers. Fun fact, the founder of Willow is a woman, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And their phone number to initiate a intake appointment is 424-371-5191.
Okay.
424-371-5191.
Okay. And I will include that below.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. And Heidi, thank you so much for your wealth of knowledge and tips and tools when it comes to anger. I'm very, very excited about this. And Heidi and I just want to say, don't be afraid to be angry. Own your anger. And you know how Wonder Woman had her like wrist, like boom, 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 boom. That's our sign out. So mwah, mwah. We're grateful for you all.
Anger is your superpower.
Yeah. Anger is your superpower. Own it. Use it wisely and join us for our next podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in.